Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa is dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We need to start with reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs from last night. Man, the Chiefs bounced back from last week's defeat with a statement 30-6 victory, but that W carried quite a hefty price tag. Mahomes dislocating his right kneecap on a quarterback sneak in the second quarter. The reigning MVP would thankfully end up walking into the locker room under his own power, but he did not return to the game. Teammate Travis Kelce said Mahomes' knee, quote, didn't even look like a knee. It was all out of whack. After the game, Mahomes tweeted, awesome team win. Love my brothers. Thank you for all the prayers. Everything looking good so far. He also gave the post-game locker room speech. According to reports, Mahomes expected to miss at least 3 weeks. Shannon, is Andy Reid to blame for calling this QB sneak?
Yes, and I tweeted immediately, Skip. I said this was a dumb coaching move. Your quarterback has been injured, nursing an ankle injury since week one. He hurt it in Jacksonville, and it hadn't gotten any better because, Skip, it's hard to, like, when you get an injury, it's hard to heal the injury when you have to practice on Wednesday and then you play again on Sunday. And if you remember, Skip, he got it stepped on several times against Colts that Sunday night game. So that injury has really never healed from week one. He got it stepped on again, I think it was week four. Week four. And so here we are again. No, Skip, you can't do that. See, I understand. Football is an inherently dangerous game, and there's a risk every time you step on the field. But there's also something called an unnecessary risk. Skip, he has an injured ankle. Why would you put him in harm's way by asking him to run the quarterback sneak? And I know everybody's saying, well, Shannon, but he didn't hurt his ankle. Well, let me tell you something. I've had ankle injuries. And when I had my first ankle injury in 1993, guess what I had to have off-season surgery on, Skip? My right knee. You know why? Because all I did was compensate. Because I didn't want to put pressure on that left ankle. I ended up compensating so much, I hurt the right knee. You don't put him in harm's way. I'll give you a perfect example, Skip. Peyton Manning. Once he hurt his neck, guess what they never did again? They never ran a quarterback sneak on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. You have running backs. I can see, Skip, if it's the AFC Championship game, if it's the Super Bowl, or if it's to get your team to win a game, Skip, I got no problem with that. Skip, this is the 7th game of the season. Everything that you hope to accomplish is riding on the right arm of that guy. If you think you can go anywhere, I don't care if you got Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, or whatever else you got. Everything that you want, that you hope to accomplish is based on 15 and his health. They say 3 weeks. Hopefully, that's the minimum. But, Skip, you can't put this kid in harm's way. Andy, you're smarter than that. That's Denver. If you can't beat Denver and you saw the way the game was going, Skip, they went down and scored. Denver got out the box early. You follow them up. You get a lead. They don't do anything. You take you kick the field goal. Now you're up 10-6. You get the ball back and you're driving again. Skip, why? You don't put the kid at risk in a game of this match. It means nothing. You're going to win this game. I totally disagree with the call. I don't know why you would put him in harm's way in a regular season game. It's an unnecessary risk that you didn't need to take. Yes, I understand that there are risks involved in football, but unnecessary risk is what you try to avoid. So I place this at the head coach. Well, if Andy called a play or if Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator,
Andy called the play.
Okay. Well, I fought Andy.
Okay. So just for the record, You did pick Denver to win this game.
I
picked Denver to win. Mark Schlereth picked Denver. So everybody on Undisputed picked Denver. I think Jenny actually picked Mahomes.
But
the three of us said Denver.
Right.
So Patrick Mahomes and company had just lost two straight home games. Mm-hmm. I think there was a level of desperation in a big division game on Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was just Denver. It looked like just Denver last night because
right.
that was all-time embarrassment for your old franchise at home on that stage.
That was hard for me to watch.
Okay, now back to your premise. I can't tell you how much I disagree with your premise, and here's why. I started covering this game of pro football back in the mid-70s when I covered Don Shula's Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Mm-hmm. Then it was Chuck Knox's Rams, and then it was the Cowboys of Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson, and then I got to know Bill Walsh very well when he was the advisor-in-chief for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. So I've been around a lot of pro football, a lot of great minds. I cannot remember ever any quarterback ever getting hurt on a quarterback sneak in my time. I Googled it and found that Tom Savage, who's no longer in football, in one of his few starts for the Houston Texans, did suffer a concussion on a quarterback sneak. And so I looked at the play, and it opened up so quickly that he was shocked that there was actually a big hole there. So he just kept going with his head up and just then hit helmets with the linebacker head on, who had a little full head of steam.
Yes.
So I get that one.
Right.
Freakish. Now to this play. Who is the greatest quarterback sneaker of all time? This isn't even close.
Tom Brady.
I tweet that all the time. Greatest quarterback sneaker ever. Tom Brady has run the quarterback sneak. It's hard to count them, but it's over 200 times mm-hmm. in his career. Tom Brady has willingly run the quarterback sneak that he loves so much. It's his pet play, his favorite play. And just a week ago on this same Fox stage, the big Thursday night stage, would you believe Tom Brady ran five quarterback sneaks that night? Five. And guess what? He scored twice mm-hmm. on quarterback sneaks. Just for the record, could we see these quarterback sneaks? Tom Brady just, there he is. He's just crashing headlong into the pile. So after that game, Julian Edelman called Tom Brady the GOAT of quarterback sneaks. He's the GOAT of GOATs, we know that. But that's how much he loves that play and how successful he's often been on that play. So this is the quarterback that you say protects himself like no other quarterback has ever protected himself in the history of football. Am I right?
Yeah, but Skip, Skip is different,
okay,
though.
It's not. Let me finish. So this is the guy who gets rid of the ball quicker than anybody's ever gotten rid of the ball to protect himself. He's 42 years old, and he ran five quarterback sneaks in this same game 1 week ago on Thursday Night mm-hmm. Football. And he's so overprotected by the referees, as you say. They even created the Tom Brady rule after what happened to him, Bernard Pollard, mm-hmm. First game 2008.
Correct.
Pollard fell into his legs as they were planted after he got rid of the football, and they said, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
So he's completely protected. And the last thing in the world Tom Brady wants to do is put himself in any harm's way, because he's already on record as saying, I want to play until I'm 45, but I'm still sneaking like mad. I'm going to sneak because I know how to quarterback sneak. I picked the hole. I know it because we have studied the tape and we know where the vulnerability is in the defense. And I duck quickly and I leg drive forward and I burrow under the pile. Well, a lot of big bodies are going to fall on top of you, but they're not going very fast, right?
Right.
They're just going to fall on top of
yes.
you. But apparently Tom Brady believes that's not a very risky play, because I think he thinks there's no risk in the play.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady has a partially separated left shoulder.
Okay.
They're running quarterback sneak.
Okay, he doesn't have a partially...
That's
okay.
my point!
Neither does Patrick
he
Mahomes!
He was injured!
He's got an ankle injury! Are you kidding me?
Skip, stop it!
Tom,
stop
wait
it.
A second! Hold on just a second! I got you! Tom Brady had a calf injury that was so bad. Well, he did. He was not practicing. What did we say? Why did they go get Cody Kessler? What would the Hall of Famer tell me? They got to throw footballs in practice, and Tom Brady can't throw any footballs, right?
No, that's not
so he is still quarterback sneaking with a calf injury that was so bad they had to sign a third quarterback.
Yep, they signed.
Skip,
they signed a third quarterback because they didn't want the backup taking all the reps with the regulars and all the backup reps.
Stop it.
Skip.
There's no danger here, and just because you have a little ankle injury, stop it.
Skip, everything is little if you don't have it.
Okay, but if you're running full speed, if he's scrambling down the field, you might be able to sell overcompensation to me. You might.
Skip.
Where left ankle leads to right knee, but do you know what the odds are on a dislocated knee on a quarterback sneak? Billions to one. Because you know what? It's never happened in the history of football.
But Skip, the
point. If you can find a dislocated knee on any quarterback sneak dating to high school football at the turn of the century, you got me.
But Skip, that's not the point. You put the guy in a situation that he took an unnecessary risk.
There's no risk. Okay, if you take off running, I got you.
So let me ask you a question. If there's no risk, why don't people play with ACLs, torn ACLs? There's no risk. You can't tear it anymore. It's already torn.
Okay, but you can't move.
Why you can't?
You can't operate.
John Elway played his whole career without one.
Okay, so what? I don't even know what your point is.
My point is,
so quarterback sneak with a torn ACL. It's fine with me. Because I think it's zero risk.
So why didn't Tom Brady play when he tore his ACL? My point is, you're trying to say there's no risk. There is a risk when you play with an injury, and you try to avoid unnecessary risk.
Okay.
Skip, stop. See, the problem that I have with you is that you want to compare everything to Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not injured. If Tom Brady had an injured shoulder, they're not running quarterback sneak.
Throughout September into early October, he could not practice because of a calf injury, widely reported in New England. So help me out. Calf or ankle, which is worse? I'll go calf every time, because if your calf goes out completely, you cannot play pro football.
But you can with a bum ankle.
Yes.
Okay,
well, he was moving around just fine last night. I saw him. He was just fine.
Skip, he was stepping into his throws. In fact,
he went 10 out of 11. Skip. He had completed 10 out of 11.
Skip, everything was short.
It's wrapped. It's the most freakish injury I have ever seen, because it looks like to me that Derek Wolfe, who's sort of the left defensive end, if you look at the defense, he sort of falls sideways against his leg as he's falling down. I still don't know how that dislocates a knee. It's as freakish an injury as I've ever seen on a football field. It's virtually impossible, but apparently it did happen because we saw the doctor have to sort of pop it back into place. How can you condemn Andy Reid for calling a play that is Tom Brady's pet play at age 42?
Skip, see, there you go again. Just because it's Tom Brady's pet play.
Okay. Why would he sneak five times at age 42 against the New York Giants?
Skip, what Tom Brady does and what Patrick Mahomes does, that has no bearing
on this. Is Tom Brady superhuman? No.
Skip.
Do you not say that he's the most overprotected quarterback in the history of football?
I believe all quarterbacks are overprotected, and they set the rules up, and that's why you see the guys wanting to play so much longer. But, Skip, Tom Brady does not have an injury.
Well, he did. Again, does Patrick Mahomes have a bad injury? No.
Skip, you saw the man hurt. He left the game in Jacksonville. You see him they stepped on his ankle in Indy. You saw him hobbling.
Okay.
He's been hobbling since.
Do you truly believe that the ankle injury led to the dislocated knee on a quarterback's knee?
I believe that Andy Reid put Patrick Mahomes at risk. He made him take an unnecessary risk. Skip, there's risk when you step on the football field.
That was an unnecessary risk. One last point on Tom Brady. Why would he take a quote-unquote unnecessary risk five times? Why would he do it more than any quarterback has ever done? No one's ever sneaked as many times as Tom Brady has. So why would he do it when, obviously, if you have Sony Michel behind you, or let's say Brandon Bolden behind you, why wouldn't you just hand it off to them and let them get the half yard or the 1 yard for the touchdown? Why does he do that? Because there's also risk in the exchange. Because sometimes on a quick hitter at the goal line, because it's bam, bam, that you turn quickly, and because the back is hitting the hole so hard that he doesn't quite get the exchange. He doesn't get the handle on the football, and every once in a while, you see it go loose into the pile, and the other team recovers.
And you've also seen quarterbacks try to get the ball, and they fumble on the quarterback's knee.
Okay, but that's only because sometimes they try to do the over the top, which Tom Brady never tries to go over the top with the football because there's a lot more danger over the top.
He'll do that on the goal line because once it breaks the plane, it's a dead play after that.
But if he knows he's got it.
Yeah, he doesn't do that in the player field. Okay. The mistake that some makes in the player field is that they try to go over the top. It's not a dead play then. It is in the goal line area.
So you are admitting that Tom Brady actually takes on a lot of risk as a real live football player by running quarterback sneaks. Because you say he plays a game nobody else is playing where he's untouched.
Skip.
So he's actually welcoming the contact.
Skip.
He's risking a knee dislocation at the goal line.
Stop. Will you stop it? Skip, you're being so disingenuous.
Okay. No, I'm,
Tom Brady
no, I'm
is not.
I'm
you,
actually being just as honest as I can
you
be.
You brace everything on Tom Brady. Tom Brady is all time. He's historically. He's transcendently great.
Yep.
But the way they run their offense and the way Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs run their offense is different.
Okay, but Patrick the sneak Mahomes is the sneak. Is it not? Do the Chiefs run the sneak differently than the Patriots do? Because I don't see that at all. It looks pretty cut and dry
Tom
to me.
Brady isn't injured. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes was injured. Andy Reid put him at an skip. Mm-hmm. If he gets sacked and he dislocates his knee, mm-hmm. that's the risk that a quarterback's taking a drop back. Mm-hmm. But he put him at an unnecessary risk because he didn't have to do that. He could have handed the ball to Shady McCoy. Mm-hmm. He could have handed the ball to one of the Williams boys. Mm-hmm. That's what could have happened. He could have handed it to the fullback because they did it twice last night.
Okay. There's, to me, far more risk of simply playing Patrick Mahomes, simply sending him out there. That's risky to me.
Oh, if
you say he's so hurt that he shouldn't be in the game because he's risking a knee dislocation on overcompensation, why would you even start him last night against the Denver that you say they should have beaten?
Skip, you covered the game far too long to do this. You've covered the game. You've seen the guys go out there. But you don't put the guy at an unnecessary risk. If you want to disagree and say, Tom, but you make everything about Tom. Okay. Tom isn't injured.
He's just simply the greatest to ever do it. And he's still doing it at 42.
Okay. But if Tom Brady has a partially separated shoulder, if there's something, if he has a banged up shoulder, do you believe Tom Brady would run the quarterback sneak? Yes or no?
If Tom Brady had an ankle injury, then he would run all kinds of quarterback sneaks. There's no jeopardy there.
Okay. I disagree. I just played on bum ankles, and I know what happens, and I know how hard it is.
Okay. So here's the point. Now we get to the bigger picture. So how bad could this be? Because all I do know, if I look back into history, Teddy Bridgewater, at the end of a practice on August 30th of 2016 for the Vikings, had a dislocated knee. And guess what else was going on inside that knee? It also tore the ACL, and it did all kinds of structural damage to the knee.
Right.
And Teddy Bridgewater's career was threatened by what started with what they call patella dislocation.
Right.
So it's the kneecap. It pops out
but
of place.
But didn't he mess with some arteries also?
I'm saying the head. It was all torn up.
Yes,
And it was a non-contact injury.
Right.
So I didn't see it because there's no video of it that I know of. So he's
just
moving.
Like he went back to plant.
Steps.
And it buckled.
And it just goes. Yeah. And everything goes. Because if the kneecap does dislocate, it can take other things with it.
Oh, yeah.
So now we don't know what went with it. We just know that he started limping off the field with help, and then he started to walk.
Right.
But after the game, when we saw him in the locker room, he was limpy. He was a little limpy, and he had a black sleeve over his knee.
Here's the thing, though, Skip. For the knee to dislocate, obviously something had to give. Because everything is structurally sound, and for that kneecap to say, okay, I need to go, I'm going this way or that way, something had to give. Remember Robert Edwards? He almost lost his career on the beach. And Napoleon McCallum did the same thing.
Yep.
He lost his career. He never played another down.
Okay.
Same thing, patella tendonitis, dislocation of the kneecap and everything, and it was over.
Okay.
Hopefully, it doesn't seem to be that extent. They'll get the MRI. They're saying a minimum of 3 weeks. It's going to be very, very interesting. My only point is, look, I understand football is a dangerous game. And when you step on the field, there's a risk that's involved, Skip. There is a risk, but you try to avoid the unnecessary risk. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that Andy Reid put him in an unnecessary risk situation by running the quarterback.
All right, and I disagree. But now the damage is done, whatever the damage is.
Yeah.
So both ESPN and NFL.com are reporting 3 weeks-ish, sort of like it's going to be at least that much, if not more, depending on what we find out.
Right.
So 3 weeks, you pick this team to win the Super Bowl. What would you do now? What would you stick with Matt Moore?
I don't think, Skip, the quarterback position is like unlike any other. You can go get a receiver off the street. You can go get a lineman or running back. Running back, toss it to him, run to the open area. A quarterback, you need somebody that's been in your system and understands your terminology.
Yep.
I don't think you can go get a guy off the street and run an offense. I really don't, and have success. Yeah, you get to do it, you know, run practice. But in a game, you're stuck with what you have. Matt Moore is going to have to drive this car until Pat Mahomes is back.
Yep, I agree with that. And I do respect Matt Moore as a quality backup, a Brian Hoyer type of backup. He won't choke. He will play with whatever poise he can play with because he's 15-15 as a starting quarterback. Not great, but not bad.
Right.
That 1 year, he quarterbacked the last three games in place of Tannehill in Miami, and they did go to the playoff game, and they played in the very frigid cold up in Pittsburgh, and he didn't play well, and they didn't play well.
Right.
But at least he started a playoff game. So at least he's capable of handling the emotions of the spotlight, right?
But I think the difference here, Skip, is that the thing that Mahomes brings to the table that Matt Moore doesn't, with Matt Moore, all you worry about is what's called.
Yeah, no, I agree.
With Patrick Mahomes, whatever's called.
It's a huge drop off.
Because you can throw the script away with Pat Mahomes if you can make something happen.
No, obviously. But again, last night, both of them completed 10 passes each, both Mahomes and then Matt Moore after him.
Right.
And Matt Moore's went for 117 and Patrick's went for 76 yards.
Right.
Well, why did Matt Morris go for 117? Because 57 of them went to Tyreek on that crossing up, right? And it was a nice throw. He led him. He dropped it right down the chimney. Yeah. It was good. So he's capable of making the plays that develop right before him, right?
But the thing is, now, Skip, people don't fear that offense.
Yep.
That defense is not what you saw last night. That's a porous Broncos offensive line and poor play by the quarterback. That defense isn't that good, and now you lose the fear element of that offense.
Yep, I got it. So they got to go. They got Packers next Sunday night at home, and they got Vikings at home. They go to Tennessee 50-50, and then they got the Chargers in Mexico City on a Monday night.
You know they can lose three out of these four games.
Yep, they could. Yep. They could lose four out of four.
They could.
Yep.
They could.
Yep. Well, so I wish Patrick Mahomes well. And I wish your pick well, because it's being threatened.
Thanks,
Andy. But the good news last night was...
Ain't no good news.
The good news was the defense showed up in ways you have been killing the defense. Skip. And you know what? It looked pretty good.
No, Skip. That's all Broncos. That's not, they're not good. The Chiefs' defense isn't good. Garrett Bowles, the left tackle, and the right tackle for the Denver Broncos are terrible.
Okay.
Joe Flacco is a statue. That's why Spagnuolo blitzed him the entire night.
But everybody said they're going to run all over the Chiefs, and Philip Lindsay went for 36, and Freeman went for 35. Mm-hmm. So something good was going on with the Kansas City defense, right? And I don't know what would possess me to pick a team with Joe Flacco at quarterback, because he's always been a regular season disaster waiting to happen. I think he holds the record for single-digit QBR games because he had an 8 last night, and he was horrendously bad.
I was just in Denver last Sunday, Skip.
I know.
And, you know, I'm hanging all out. You know, I'm in the owner's box. We glad to have you back.
There it is.
Never again.
Well, it seemed like the Denver Broncos were back, at least for 2 games, and now they're 2-5.
So how bad must Tennessee be? But Tennessee beat white Cleveland out.
I don't know. It's that kind of league.
Speaking of a porous O-line, 9 sacks for Joe Flacco last night. You know, he woke up this morning sore. And we should certainly also congratulate Andy Reid on his 200th career win last night.
No, I ain't congratulating him. Call Pat Mahomes. No mercy.
Skip's Cowboys are 2.5-point favorites at Jerry World against the division rival Eagles, according to Fox Bet. The winner claims sole possession of first place in the NFC East. Shannon, who wins this one Sunday night?
I really expect there to be a lot of points on both sides, Skip. I think both defenses are really disappointed in the way they've been playing this year. I thought the Eagles would be much better. And I know you thought the way the Cowboys left off last year, they would pick right up. And they did for the first three games. I'm going to take the Eagles in a close ball game, but I believe it's going to be a high-scoring ball game. The Eagles have the number two rush defense, but they're terrible in pass coverage. I'm going to say the Eagles win 30-27. And all turnovers are not created equal. And I think the one thing that Wentz has done a better job this year than what Dak has done, and normally is Dak doing a better job of this than Wentz, is taking care of the football. Dak has 6 interceptions. Wentz has 3. And I believe the Eagles defense will make one play late in the ball game that will be the difference in the ball game. And I got the Eagles winning a close ball game, but a high-scoring ball game. I got the Eagles 30-27.
So, for once on this show, when it comes to my Cowboys, I'm barely claiming them at this point.
No. You got barely claiming. No. It don't barely.
For once, you well could be right. For once, I have very, very, very little faith in picking the Cowboys to win this game, even at home. I just don't love this game for the Dallas Cowboys, and it's harder and harder to have faith in them because I'll be the first to admit, knowing what I know about pro football, really about any sport, these are very, very bad signs. When a team that I believe could win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl in its last two games fell behind 31-3 at home and then 21-3 on the road to a Jets team that was 0-4. Mm-hmm. Bad sign, bad sign. I'm going to say it again. Not one player on my defense, the same defense that shut down Drew Brees and company late last year and shut down Russell Wilson and company in a playoff game later last year, not one player on that defense has lived up to preseason expectations. Not a single one, starting...
Or contract expectations.
Thank you. Starting with Marcus Lawrence, who is no longer D. Marcus Lawrence because there's no D. He's playing no D at all. So he's just Marcus Lawrence, and he got $100 million. And he's on the most wanted list because I barely know he plays in these games. And I raved last year. You even got caught up a little bit in Jalen Smith and Wolf Hunter. Ow! The dynamic duo who were changing games, mm-hmm. literally changing games, taking over games, sideline to sideline. Haven't seen them lately.
No.
I don't know. I'm not even sure they're out there. Now, not that this really matters, I'm down 2 starting cornerbacks, hamstring issues, and once the hamstring goes, you can just forget about it.
Ain't nothing going
on. I'm talking about Byron Jones, Anthony Brown, and almost certainly, because they haven't practiced, they will not play.
Right.
And the truth is, I don't even know if that really matters because they haven't been very good anyway. So maybe throw the backups in.
It's like Byron Jones stepped off a cliff, Skip.
Totally agree.
Considering like what he was last year.
Okay. Flip around to my offense. Amari Cooper, I love. He changed life in Dallas. But when it comes to injuries, he's not like the mentally toughest guy. And I'm not saying he's just a deeper thinker, and I think he really values his body, and so he's not one to say, I'm going to run through that brick wall and risk the rest. He's the guy, I'm not going to overcompensate. So he's gone from severe plantar fasciitis to a really bad ankle to a deep thigh bruise, and he said yesterday he actually hurt the thigh against Green Bay. Really? Nobody knew. And he said he didn't communicate well enough with the training staff.
Exactly.
Aha. And so he went out for warm-ups at Jets, and he's thinking, I don't even feel like I can run today. But he tried, and he caught one ball for 3 yards, and he just said, hey, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
And he's out of the game. Well, he says he's going to try to practice a little bit today. Do I trust him to be Amari? I do not. I'm sorry. And Randall Cobb has a back injury and he still hasn't practiced, so I'm pretty sure he's not going to play. So now Carson Wentz still has Zach Ertz, one of the best tight ends in football. I mean, you can make a case he's right there with that guy we saw last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Alshon is back and going great guns. And Aguilar, he drops too many balls, but he's also very dangerous mm-hmm. and can get behind you. So I think that's big advantage in this game for Carson Wentz. And speaking of my quarterback, the two tackles have tried to practice, the left tackle, right tackle, obviously Ty Smith, Lyle Collins. And yet, am I sure? I'm not sure. So I just can't. I try to make a case, and I can't. I'm going to defend my quarterback one last time because he's all I got. I still believe in my quarterback. I trust my quarterback. He is a gamer. He is a baller. And whatever he's got, he'll give you. Mm-hmm. And he did beat this team twice last year. In the last game, we saw him against the Eagles, and it was at Jerry World in the fourth quarter in overtime. As I continue to tell you, 243 passing yards, fourth quarter in overtime, three touchdowns, no interceptions. So does he feel fairly comfortable against a pass defense that has given up the 29th most yards? I assume he does. So to your point about higher scoring, yeah, probably. So what else do I have to just barely cling to? I got Pro Football Focus. Still says that my team is the fourth best team in pro football. I don't know how, but they can justify it with their analytics and metrics, okay?
But I think they were thinking that Ty Smith and Lyle Collins and Mark Cooper are going to be healthy.
So they say the Eagles are the ninth best, so fourth versus ninth. They still say my offense, they rank number one. Not sure how, but they do. Defensively, they don't love my defense is ranked 14th, yours is ranked 16th. So maybe that's a coin flip.
Right.
So what does it bring me to? Ezekiel Elliott, could they finally just say, okay, we give up, we're going to hand it to him 40 times and try to slow the game down, right? As we've seen against Patrick Mahomes. The Eagles have the number one run defense in pro football. So do you think Zeke's going to break out against the Eagles? I don't. So I don't even have that to lean back like, right. Oh, last gasp. They can just keep handing it to 21 and maybe he'll start doing this all day. I'm not sure that's going to happen. So where does that leave me as the point spread starts to fall? Because it opened at 3 and now it's down to 2.5. So there's the bandwagon is rolling for the Eagles, and I get it because I fear it's going to run over me.
Told you it was going to happen.
Yep. All I got going is that your coach, Dougie Prediction, right out of the box on Monday, maybe smarting a little bit off their loss at Minnesota, maybe a little thin-skinned and defensive, he flat out guaranteed, and he tried to backtrack it, but he guaranteed a win. We're going to go down there and win the football game. So God knows my coach can't motivate my team. God knows he's not going to fix it. He's not going to shake it up. There's not going to be shocking lineup changes or strategic changes. So I'm going to have to depend on your coach to be the reason my team somehow rises.
So he motivated you guys.
That's all I got. Seriously, that their manhood got called out. Because you know what? I believe it. If we could put him on a lie detector right now, he would say, we're going to kick their ass and believe it. Yeah. Like, believe it heart and soul. Like, strategically, like, watch the tape.
Right.
Ah, we'll go up and down the field on him all day long.
I'm sure he told his team that in the meeting.
Right. And my offensive line, all those high-paid linemen, they have gotten whipped starting by your Saints. They get whipped at the line of scrimmage all too often. Zeke can't even get out of the starting blocks half the time. He had 10 runs against the Jets that went for 1 yard or fewer, and there's really no place to go. So all I know is at some point, like last night, I think the Chiefs, they got sick and tired of hearing how bad they were, and so they rose up last night. On the big stage, they said, you know, and this is Sunday night football.
Oh, that's so, what you open up.
Yeah. So they're going to say, okay, Dougie P, watch this. This is who we are. This is who we used to be and who we're going to be starting with this game. That's all I got. And I'm clinging just barely to this because I'm about to fall off the cliff backwards. And if they lose this game to fall to 3-4 and lose 4 in a row, it's going to be really hard for me to hang on, even though they'll only be a game back in the division. If they win it, would it be a springboard? I don't even know that. But I do think they love to play against this team. And I do believe this team will bring out whatever the best is in my team. And so I'm going to go some crazy end. I don't have a score as high as yours. I think there's going to have to be turnovers back and forth.
Right.
I'm going Dallas 24, Philly 23 on a walk-off by my man, Brett Maher. I need him to be my man this time because he'll hit, you know, 62 yarders, but then he misses 38 yarders, right?
With no meaning. With 62 didn't mean anything.
It didn't at that moment. There's no pressure
on it. Exactly.
So I'm going to say, with meaning, walk off 24 to 23 Dallas. And I can't do it on paper. I can't justify it. Sorry.
With those two defenses, mm-hmm. I just think points are going to get scored. I don't love either defense.
But I will say this. I like Philly's front seven more than I like Dallas's front seven because I haven't seen any life. I haven't seen any energy. I haven't seen any urgency. I haven't seen anything. But when I watch Philly's front seven, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
It can be very good.
Barnett, Cox. Oh, yeah, they got a nice front seven.
Whoa.
It's just if they don't get the quarterback on the ground and the quarterback has time to throw the ball down the field, it's that back four that leaves a lot to be desired. Mm. Your back four is not exactly, murderer's row either.
Yep. So my biggest fear is I'm going to have to come in here on Monday and say, how about them Eagles? That's what I'm going to have to say. How about them Eagles?
I might have a little something special.
Yep. Well, you got me on the run, and I'm almost ready to give up, but not quite.
Go keep you on the run, too.
Because maybe the unsung hero of this game was Dougie Prediction.
Nope.
Maybe. Yep.
Two more picks by that.
Yeah. Could be. He's actually got three picks to Carson Wentz's three because
deserve. Skip, don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. He has six. Yeah. 11 touchdowns, six picks. My guy has 13-3.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett is feeling the pressure, and Dak Prescott had some strong words for his teammates this week as well, encouraging folks to prepare more, prepare better. So we'll see if that has any impact. It'll be interesting to watch. NBA.com releasing their annual general managers poll. When asked who is the best leader, it was Damian Lillard with 41% of the vote. Steph Curry followed with 37%. LeBron rounded out the top three with only 15% of the vote. Shannon, how much of a problem you got with this one?
They need to stop it. Skip, I love Dame Lillard. I think the world of him. I think he's a superstar. I thought he was a superstar before he got the credit that he deserved. Because you watch him play, you understand he can do it all. Can dribble, can shoot, take you off the bounce, everything.
And I think he's genuinely a good guy.
I really do think he's genuinely a good guy. But they need to stop this. You know what these general managers are mad about? About what transpired last year. Because every year they've taken this poll, LeBron James has been voted the best leader.
Has he really? I didn't know.
The best leader. But you know what happened? What happened last year, Skip Bayless? Mm. This Anthony Davis thing came up. And everybody was talking about how it played out in the locker room. I can't believe that LeBron James would do that to his locker room. They blame him for snatching Anthony Davis from the Pelicans. How? Anthony Davis could have said no. But see what happens anytime LeBron is involved with something, they automatically assume LeBron is an agent of clutch. Rich Paul is also Anthony Davis' agent. They try to put two and two together. Oh, this is what happened. No.
So you think their premise is that he alienated all those kids in the locker room who are now playing for your team?
Right? Yes. And what are we seeing, Skip? We see that LeBron James, before, free agents didn't move like this. LeBron James empowered free agents to say, you know what? I want out. Leave. Demand a trade. Request a trade. And GMs don't like that. See, LeBron forces GM to keep every year. We're going for it every year. Ain't no rebuilding. Ain't no, it's a process. There is none of that if LeBron James is on your roster. And GMs don't like that. Now, Dame Lillard said, you know what? I'm happy here. If somebody want to come join, link up with me, I'm good. That's fine. GMs like to hear that. See, GMs like to hear guys say, I'm loyal to the soil. Because now, they got no problem trading you and we making the team better. We like this move. We felt it can make the team better. But the moment a player says, I want to get up out of here because I want to go somewhere else because I want to, win and be better, that's a problem. That's what this is all about. It's hard for me to believe a leader. All of a sudden, LeBron is not the leader. He's been voted the best leader for the last 8, 9, 10 years. Goes to finals, four straight finals in Miami. Comes back, goes again. And now all of a sudden, this is all about the Anthony Davis trade. This is all about the power that the free agents now request and trade. And some of these guys says, I want out even before my contract's up. These general managers are upset about that. Dame is a good guy. This is not a shot at Dame, but I'm just telling you what these GMs are upset about. And this is why they docked LeBron.
You do make some very good points on this. So I'm going to go bigger picture here. If, in fact, a poll got taken of all NBA players, who's the most popular player among you guys in this league, among the players? I think LeBron would win it.
Yeah.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
You cover the league.
maybe.
There's a tremendous level of respect for him. Absolutely.
I think there's a tremendous level of just likability because he goes out of his way to fraternize with the opposition, which is the opposite of Michael Jordan, because a lot of guys despise Michael Jordan, but they feared him.
Right.
But in this case, LeBron just goes out of his way to know everybody, to compliment everybody, kids coming up. He wants to develop little sort of big brother relationships with them.
You've never heard him say an ill word about anybody.
No, that's true. I give you all that. Now we get to the leadership question. And I was not aware, I was just taking this poll just in and of itself. But if I had voted in the previous polls in which he was voted, you say the best, I would have voted for some, I don't know who else I would have voted for. I'd have to really think hard about Damian, maybe. I'm not sure about Steph. I'm not sure. But I am sure that I don't think LeBron is a great leader. And I'll tell you why. There's just too much drama going around. He has a force field around him that just creates drama on a nightly basis. He thrives on it. Others can't because it's just too much. And we've seen it especially once he left Dwayne, who I thought was the sort of bedrock cornerstone leader of the Heat franchise and taught LeBron a lot about how to handle your business as a leader. And LeBron was becoming a leader. And then he left Dwayne to go home again. And it was a struggle. And Kyrie never bought completely into LeBron. And we know what happened. He finally said, I got it. Then now he wants to sort of make up with him.
But hey, what did he say? You know, he reached out to LeBron when he did. Because he thought just being the best player made you the leader, but he didn't understand.
He did not. And Kyrie proved to be a very poor leader because it's hard. So with LeBron, there's too much of this passive, aggressive social media posts where you say, what? It's this cryptic. It's like, are you criticizing or are you blame deflecting? LeBron is not one to step up and say, it's my fault. I assume full responsibility for our three-game losing streak or whatever it might be. He wants to blame deflect because he's very proud to a fault. And it's hard to be the leader when you won't just step up and say, it's my fault. I'll take all the slings and arrows from the media. You shoot them at me because I'll take them because I can handle them. I don't ever get that from LeBron.
He don't need to because you're already right. They're going to write about it anyway. It's his fault. So he don't need to blame. He don't need to take any more credit because it's already written about it.
Okay. So on alienating the kids last year, I got no problem with that because he just wanted to win. And so he's juggling, you know, like saying, do I want Anthony Davis or all these kids? I think I'll take Anthony Davis. Right. And all y'all can go to New Orleans. All of you. Well, you can ship the whole team out. And that's not a sign of poor leadership.
Right.
That's just wanting to win, man. Right. I mean, just I can be better off with Anthony Davis. Skip, so that's not poor leadership.
And Lonzo, on a podcast just last month, the person who mentored me the most last year was probably LeBron, just being with him pretty much the whole year. Same team, same bus, same hotel. I was just with him always, just picking up what I can from the greatest to ever play. Skip, they understand this is a business. I'm sure they wanted to be with the Lakers. But at the end of the day, LeBron wants to win more than anything. And if LeBron really sincerely thought he could win with those guys, they would have still been there.
Okay.
But AD is a generational talent.
All right, I got it. So do I think LeBron burned the bridges to all those kids?
No.
I don't think so, but I don't know Brandon Ingram well enough. He sort of keeps to himself.
Right.
He seemed to take it the most personally.
Right.
So it's possible Brandon Ingram, not real keen on LeBron at this point. But here's the point. This is the drama king. This is when he completely lost me, and you're going to get sick and tired of me bringing this up. But game one of the finals 2 years back at Oakland, they've got them dead to rights. And we know how the last sequence unfolded. I thought LeBron should have pulled up on Steph and taken the jump shot to win the game. He only scored 48 points to that point.
49.
And he had made some unbelievable number of outside the paint jump shots that he rarely gets on that kind of a roll outside the paint. And then we know what happened with JR and the blunder and everything just unraveled. And what happened in the timeout after this play occurred? LeBron distanced himself from the whole team and he went and sat down the bench from the team.
Give me right there. He wants to see removed.
Sitting away. He's saying, I don't want to associate with that mess.
Skip, you make it seem like the guy was up there getting popcorn.
Okay.
The guy sitting right there next to JR. Come on.
He's pouting. You can't pout. You actually got the best case scenario. If
no,
I presented it to LeBron before the game, you get to go to overtime, tied. You've tied the invincible Warriors in game one at Oracle.
No. Don't say that. Say LeBron, with 4 seconds left in the ball game, JR got the basketball 2 feet from the rim. Mm-hmm. That's the best case scenario. But what's going to happen is he's going to forget where he is. Okay. And he's going to dribble the ball outside the three-point line.
Okay, but the better case scenario is LeBron pulls up from the free throw line and shoots a jumper right up over little 6'3" Steph Curry, and it's game over, and LeBron wins. Now, they were down one, so it's going to be sink or swim, make or miss.
What about if an NBA basketball player make two free throws, that's an 80% career free throw shooter? What if George Hill does that?
What did I tell you? When my Spurs got rid of George Hill, they traded him for number two. I was happy because I told you, George Hill isn't that guy. I don't want George Hill shooting free throws for my quote-unquote life. I don't. And I like him as a player, but I don't love him in that situation. But don't put the game in George Hill's hands. Put it in LeBron's hands. No, he shoot it.
He did. Yeah. That's why the ball was in his hands.
Okay.
He made the best play. Mm. And I live with the decision that he made.
What's the best play?
Which was pass the ball up under him, up under the goal, and Klay Thompson says, you know what? I'm going to try to rip your head off. I'm not going to give you a layup. I'm going to force you to go to the line. You would think, okay. But, Skip, you know what this is about. Okay. We talked about it all last year.
And by the way, I got to finish what happened in overtime.
Okay.
LeBron refused to even take a shot for the first 2.5 minutes of overtime. Oh. He's got 49 points, to your point. And he refuses to shoot for 2.5 minutes as they fall behind by 7 and it's game over until he finally decides, oh, I think I'll shoot one now. And then he comes into the post game and he's wearing some cast or something
That was after game.
No, I know. But then he said it was that game that he went in and broke his hand against the whiteboard, I think. So stop.
No, it'll stop.
Stop it.
It'll stop. J.R. cost us that one. Well, that virtuoso.
I just don't know. You're such a drama king. It's hard to lead a team because in the end, you are a great solo act. You're the best passer in basketball, but you are a solo act.
You're the best leader in basketball.
No, I don't see it.
Best leader, I do. And you know that's why they did this. You know they're upset because they feel that what he did to his own locker room by alienating those young guys, ripping Anthony Davis from the Pelicans locker room, they feel that's all LeBron. And all these other guys, I want out. I'm leaving. They blame LeBron for that.
Okay.
Oh, because what did they say? Oh, Larry would have never done. You say that all the time. Michael would have never wanted to go play with him. Magic would have never done that. Oh, no. Larry Bird, they wanted to beat each other. Okay, that was them. And I don't knock them for that. But that's not this generation. They didn't have this.
All right. So I hate to go completely historical here, but I can't even begin to put LeBron in the leadership stratosphere with Magic Johnson or Larry Bird or Tim Duncan, who I think was one of the most underrated leaders ever. He was the quiet, stoic leader
What you think Magic was like? You don't think Magic probably went to Dr. Buster, get him up out of here and get me somebody that I can play with?
Okay, that's fine. Okay. I told you, I don't have any problem
with that. So Magic goes to Dr. Buss. Get him up out of here. I need some better players. LeBron says, I want to play with AD. He a poor loser. He a poor leader.
No, that's not. Maybe that's what they're saying. And they're wrong if that's what they're concluding.
You know they mad at Bron. Because Bron got that power. Bron got that Thor hammer.
That's probably true.
And he, Skip, nobody in the history of the NBA has had the kind of power that guy has.
Nobody. I mean, maybe Jordan did, but he didn't wield it like this.
Yeah. Jordan didn't have that kind of power. Jerry Krause wouldn't let Michael make no decisions.
That's a fact.
We wearing black jerseys today. I want to wear white. Well, you'll be only one out there in black because we wearing white. He wouldn't let him make any decision.
We're going to pay you this, and you're going to like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But LeBron James said what? I'm playing for the max. I'm never taking less than my value. I want the max. Giving me the max. And I want that guy, and that guy. Now, you go get him. I'll let you figure out how you're going to get him, but I want him.
Tim Duncan said, I'll take $5 million a year. See, go get a bunch of new pieces.
See, that's what you do. Yep. See, Skip, that's Timmy. I don't knock Timmy for doing that, but that's not what LeBron wanted to do. Kobe, nobody ever knocked Kobe for taking max contract after max contract. He hamstrung him. Because at the end, he had that big old contract, Skip, and they could get no one. But everybody look at... But Kobe got to finish his career with the Lakers. Nobody criticized Kobe, but they knocked LeBron for taking max. I wish he would. If he ever took less than the max, I'm done with him.
Okay. By the way, Timmy D, as in Timmy Duncan, back on the bench in San Antonio. Maybe this means the Spurs will be the surprise team of this year.
Is he going to play?
Maybe.
Because you know what LaMarcus Aldridge do come playoff time, right?
I know what DeMar DeRozan does come playoff time.
Well, winning is always the goal. And if you're interested, 46% of GMs predicted it would be the Clippers and Kawhi that would win it all this year. Bucks came in second, and Lakers were third. Number just 11% of the votes.
Number two had four steals last night.
No mercy.
It'll be a battle of the rookie signal callers between Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones. Both QBs have two wins this season as starters. Danny Dimes had an impressive 18-point comeback in his first start, while Kyler is top 10 in the league for passing yards on the season. So, Shannon, which one of these QBs you think will be the best long-term?
Both quarterbacks have shown flashes, Skip. One has prototypical size, the other is a really small man.
Yep.
Daniel Jones has a very good arm. He's accurate, which is very important because he's going to play most of his games outside in the MetLife now.
Yep.
Washington's outside, Philly's outside, obviously plays the Cowboys in that division, NFC East, that's indoors. So the majority of his games in his career will be played outdoors. So you need a decent arm to deal with those elements. I like that. he's a better athlete than I thought. I didn't think he had this kind of mobility. Didn't know a whole lot about him, but I did watch him a few games at Duke, and he didn't show this kind of mobility, this kind of athleticism.
He did not.
But watching him against Tampa and watching him in some of the other games, he has above average athleticism. The other guy, Kyler, is athleticism is something that we don't even need to discuss with him because obviously get drafted in the first round in baseball, you're the number one overall pick in football. Athleticism should never be called into question. Very good arm. What we're starting to see is that he's starting to run more when the play breaks down and he's getting protected better. Last two games, he's only been sacked once. Previous four games, he was sacked 20 times. That was far too many. They're doing a better job of protecting him. He's doing a better job of getting out of harm's way. But for me, Skip, I'm going to take Daniel Jones because I believe he has – I'm going to trust the Giants in their hierarchy to put the pieces. Got great piece already. Saquon, Evan Ingram, which is better. I believe Saquon is better back than David Johnson. And there's – I don't think they have – even though Fitz is a more accomplished player than Evan Ingram. Excuse me. Fitz is probably a year away from he's probably going to hang it up after this year.
Yep.
So I like some of the pieces they already have. Mm-hmm. Just add some more pieces. Both offensive lines leads a lot to be desired.
They do.
So, Skip, I'm going to take Daniel Jones for one reason, Skip. He's more prototypical. He's made some rookie mistakes because sometimes I think when I watch him, he leaves the huddle. He's already predetermined. I'm throwing the ball here. I'm throwing the ball there. And I think in college, Skip, you know, they tell you, throw the ball such and such. And the guy's going to be open for the most part. Mm-hmm. You can diagram plays. He's going to be open. But in the NFL, they will force you to read the coverage before you decide where you want to throw the football. So I'm going to take him. He's more prototypical, and I believe he'll be less apt to get injury. Kyle is just a small man, and I think he's more susceptible to the injury risk than Daniel Jones. That's the only reason.
Give me Kyler Murray for the long haul. I am 1,000% sold on Kyler. I'm impressed with Daniel Jones. I'm with you. I did not see this. But give me Kyler times 10 going forward. We've seen flashes from Danny Dimes. Mm-hmm. He even has a new Big Apple nickname.
Danny Dimes.
And it's a good one. But I don't think he'll ever be able to live up to it the way Kyler will live up to it. He doesn't need a nickname because he's just a one-name Kyler. Yeah. Murray will be forgotten pretty quickly. He's just Kyler.
Yep.
I want to watch Kyler. I do. He's must-see TV to me. So let's go back to what you said about Daniel Jones. Not really recruited out of high school.
No.
Didn't even get ranked by any national scouting service at the bottom of the list. He didn't make the list. So, again, there's overachieving going on there. He initially signed with Princeton, then Duke sort of let him walk on, but gave him pretty soon a scholarship. But he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray won every game he started as a quarterback playing Texas high school state football. He won every game and every championship.
Doesn't get any better than that.
So I give you the measurables on Daniel Jones. And they did, Gettleman and Shurmur, they saw through all the hype around the other quarterbacks, and they said, look at the measurables of this kid, because at the combine, he measures 6'5", Peyton's height, right, and 221, pretty good size, and he ran 4.8.
That's great.
Okay, that's a pretty good combination. 4.8 will get it, man.
And he'll fill out. He'll be somewhere around 235, 240.
I would think so. Yeah. Kyler, as we all know, barely measured 5'10 at the combine. He is stoutly built.
Yeah.
207
yeah.
he weighed. So he's got a little bit of
little man girth
stature.
To it. Yeah.
A little bit. So I think he will be able to take the punishment. And I kept telling you after watching him only for the 1 year at Oklahoma, because I'm a fan, I never saw him in harm's way. Mm-hmm. He always managed to stay just beyond harm's reach where he would either get down or spin out of what could be career-threatening sort of hit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NFL so far, I haven't seen a career-threatening hit yet.
Right.
When he goes down on a sack, he just kind of folds up and goes down, and they never seem to get that big shot on him.
Get the ball on top of him. They just touch him down.
And he kind of reminds me already of the way Emmitt Smith ran. He just had that radar of, you can't get a big shot on me because I'm going to duck and dart and sink over here and slide a hand over here a little bit where you won't ever tag me with a big shot. And that's what this kid has. So Kyler Murray at Oklahoma showed me lightning release and lightning feet. And that's a lightning combination, man, because I told you, it's the quickest feet I've seen on a football field since Barry Sanders.
Right.
Not saying he's Barry Sanders' runner, but it's going to get you out of harm's way a lot of times. And he's just now figuring out how to use the speed downfield.
Right.
Where he'll take off occasionally, they'll call a play occasionally, and they haven't begun to really start to mine what could be that read option play with David Johnson.
Well, you don't want to really skip this early. You don't want to take him that kind of punishment. But he's learning, like, you know, there'll be a time that I'll be able to transition and I can be Brady or I can be Drew Brees.
Yep.
But right now, I need to rely on my athleticism. You know, Skip, I think sometimes when we evaluate you and I, we just look at the guy like, what did he do there? But I think sometimes talent evaluators, they look at Daniel Jones, they're like, you know what? He was at Duke. Now, Duke's known for basketball. You know one thing, if you can't succeed at Duke at basketball, you're not very good. But in Duke football, they're not getting top-tier talent like Alabama, Ohio State.
But the coach is known, David Cutcliffe, as a quarterback maker. Yep.
So they say, well, you know what? He's fundamentally sound.
Yep.
David Cutcliffe, Eli, Peyton, fundamentally sound. How good could he be if we gave him some talent?
Okay.
Saquon, he got Evan Ingram. If we give him enough, you know, they took Odell away. Odell's in Cleveland. If we can find him a number one receiver, shore up this offensive line, how good could this guy be?
Okay. So if you're right about this organization is way better than that organization, you'll get me long term.
I trust the Jazz more than I do.
All right. But in the end, when I watch Daniel Jones play, he still has that overachiever intangible in him where I see that crazy look in his eye occasionally where he doesn't completely trust himself.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler has supreme, it's like that athletic arrogance in a good way, where he just walks on the field with his chest out like, I got this.
I'm the best.
Yeah.
But you know what, Skip? Both of them guys have their work cut out for them. You know why? Look at the division they're in. Mm-hmm. One has Dak, one has walking to them. Young quarterbacks, NFC East, Daniel Jones in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the NFC West.
It's just loaded. It's
San Francisco's not going anywhere anytime soon. Russell Wilson's not going anywhere anytime soon. The Rams are not going anywhere anytime soon.
Okay.
So both of these guys got their work cut out for them.
Mm. Well, they face each other this Sunday at Giants. And you have?
I'm taking Kyler.
Kyler? After all that, you're taking Kyler Murray?
I sure am.
I think your argument just got exposed.
I sure am.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll do the same. I'm going to go 28-24 visiting Arizona with Kyler as the star of the
game. I got 2017.
Okay.
I got 2017.
No mercy.
Thank you.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Breaking news out of New Orleans. According to reports, Zion Williamson will now miss a period of several weeks to start the regular season. It's a right knee injury, but it's not expected to be severe. Zion was averaging over 23 points per game this preseason. Shannon, what's your reaction?
I can't say I'm surprised. Skip, I think he's going to have to lose 10 to 15% of his body weight. He's just too heavy. Skip, he has the injury risk of a center. And what do we see with center, Skip? Knee and ankle problems. The only center
the only
true center, Skip, that we've never seen have a problem is who? Kareem. Why? Super skinny. But all the rest of them had knee, ankle, feet problems.
Yep.
285 is too much, Skip. Mm. We've never seen anything like this.
Nope.
That's a lot of torque. That's a lot of force.
I agree.
And if he misses any amount of time, what happens, Skip, when you can't play basketball, your sport, what do you have a propensity to do? Get even heavier.
Yep.
Because you can't train, you can't run, you can't do those other things.
True.
Skip, I'm sorry. He's going to have to take it off. He's going to have to take 10 to 15%. Whatever he is, they list him at 284. I believe he's a little heavier. Hmm. 10 to 15% is going to have to come off this man.
Hmm. You have been right about this all along, and I have agreed with you. If injuries start to pile up, I'm out, man. But I hate this because first it was Patrick Mahomes last night, and now it's Zion Williamson today. It's bad for business. It's bad for the NFL. It's bad for the NBA because I love this kid.
Yes.
First rookie in 20 years to average 20-plus points through the preseason, at least through this point in the preseason, shooting 71%. He can finish, but he finishes from way up there, and he comes way down here. And the only good news here, this is not said to be severe at all. Right. And the only good news was, in watching all the games, there wasn't one play where he went crashing to the floor and grabbed his knee writhing in pain. So it wasn't hurt on one single play. So we saw the sneaker blowout at Duke that cost him a knee sprain and some time, right? And then we saw early in his first summer league action, he had a knee bruise. I think he banged knees, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was the other knee. Now, this is the right knee, and I don't know what the extent of this is, but it's certainly not good news, and I wish him well, but it's going to take a little bit of the heart out of the start of the season because he's not going to be around for a while.
And that was a blessing in disguise. That is not one thing, but what we're seeing, Skip, is an accumulation.
Yep.
And when you're that big and you're the repetitive up and down on a nightly basis, think about it now. He's going to miss some time, but to do 70-plus 80 games,
Pelicans,
that's a lot.
Pelicans are being cautious. That's it for us. We got to go. We're back at 9:30 Eastern Monday.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.